You're listening to a podcast from Parents Living in Hope and Parents for Gender Wholeness. If you're a parent who's learned of your child's same-sex attraction or transgender feelings, and you're feeling overwhelmed with that, then this is the right place for you. We're here to help parents navigate through this process of caring for their children and to bring about wholeness and healing for their child and family. My name is Bob Brennan, and I am the host today. I'm getting to interview my guest, who's Don Schroeder. And Don is a parent of his daughter, who identifies herself as a transgender person. And Don has been gracious enough to share his testimony with you today, to encourage you as parents who may be going through something, or family members who may be dealing with this and it even be new, or, you know, you've been dealing with it for a while. But Don has a very realistic testimony of the journey. And so thank you, Don, for being willing to do this again. We tried out one recording and it didn't work, so Don's been willing to do it again. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Bob, and thanks for having me on the podcast.
Yes. So let's start out by just identifying how your daughter disclosed this information, how it was disclosed to you.
Well, she called our family all together. She has three siblings. She's the second of four. And it was just before Christmas 4 years ago, and her older brother was coming home from college for the holidays, and she wanted to have a family discussion, which was not unusual. We had a lot of those. We had a lot of times where we would just talk things over as a family. We would pray together as a family. We did a lot of things like that. So that was not unusual. I wasn't prepared for her news. Because everybody sat down and she said, okay, I'm transgender. And so that was a little bit surreal for a couple moments for me. But to her credit, she let us all know at the same time. So that was a positive thing.
Okay. So you and your wife and her siblings got it kind of all at once.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. How did you find yourself and your wife reacting to this news?
Well, I'd always told myself that if my kids ever brought me bad news or unsettling news or news of this kind of thing, I wasn't going to react. I wasn't going to react, even though my feelings would, you know, pull me in that direction. So, her younger sister she kind of already knew about this, and she was saying that how she was fine with it and she was comfortable with it. My son, her older brother, had a couple questions. So I didn't react right away. The first thing I did, my wife finally said a couple things, and nothing terribly reactionary. And she said, finally, Dad, say something. Dad, you got to say something. So first I said, well, first I got to do something. So I walked over and I gave her a hug, you know, just to let her know that, you know, before I say anything about this, you know, you need to know I love you. So as time has gone on, though, our reactions, my wife's reactions and I have been different. She's been much more accepting and putting it in the category of it's her choice, which that's fine. But I am more of the person that needs to figure it all out and wrestle it to the ground and work through all of the emotions attached to some news like this.
Sure. Okay, so very different in terms of your responses.
Right, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you describe kind of your relationship dynamic with your daughter prior to this disclosure?
You know, when she was younger, she was my daddy's girl. From the time that she was just a little kid, I mean, just a toddler, she was, she would look to me for comfort, and she would come to me if she, there was something troubling her. And she would always say, "Dad, we have a heart connection, don't we?" And so we were pretty close, through her childhood. And, so this is, this issue has naturally kind of changed the relationship. But up until this time, we had a pretty good relationship, pretty close relationship. There was a little bit of distance. She was working on an online bachelor's degree at home, and she was putting a lot of time into that. And so there wasn't quite the closeness for probably a year before this announcement. But prior to that, we were, you know, as close as a father and daughter could be.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you had mentioned to me that, you know, once you got this information, you were obviously struggling with it.
Yeah.
It was a lot of pain for you. Can you describe what that pain was?
Well, for me it was a big weight of shame because, you know, this had happened on my watch and, you know, how could I have let this happen? How could I have, how could this have happened without my, you know, realizing it or being able to intervene in a timely way? So for me, it was a lot of shame that I had to work through. That's, and to this day, it's still an issue. I've made a lot of progress, but I still struggle with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And can you kind of describe that shame? Usually shame is kind of, you know, feeling responsible in some way. Can you describe that a little bit more?
Well, you know, I think that a lot of people listening can you describe this, the difference between guilt and shame? And guilt is a feeling of remorse over something you've done. And shame is more related to I'm ashamed of me. I've done something bad leads to guilt, but I am bad, and that's related to shame. Mm. So I had struggled with that all my life, really. I had, due to things that happened to me in my childhood, I was kind of a shame-prone personality. Mm. And so there were events that happened throughout my life that would reinforce that message that I had heard, you know, when I was just a little kid.
Mm.
And so this was another one of those things that kind of drove that spike deeper into my heart that, that I was not a good father because I'd let my daughter, you know, be exposed to information and a worldview and a way of thinking that was harmful, was destructive. So that contributed to that shame.
Hmm. So, I mean, it was very personal for you in terms of really feeling like this is some problem with you that this happened.
Very much so. I knew at the time there were other factors involved, there were other people involved, and there were other, you know, issues in our family. The biggest weight of it was that thing that pressed down on my heart was shame.
Mm-hmm.
That I continue to work through it to this day.
Mm-hmm. Has that changed over time? As I think you had mentioned, this is like 5 years ago that this disclosure happened. Has that shame changed for you over time?
Well, yeah, I've had to address it just through biblical truth. And, you know, number one, just said, well, I wasn't the perfect father. And no, I didn't reverse all of the trends that started in my childhood. I mean, I did some, but I didn't get them all. And, I wasn't perfect. I had to go from there. I had to go to the truth that there is no condemnation for those in Christ. And I had to just rest in that and accept that, embrace that. And then just the idea that, you know, God has a plan in all these things. And, you know, in all things, God works for good to those who are called to his purpose. And I had to embrace that and choose that over this voice that continued to insist that I was a loser and that I'll always be a loser. And, you know, your latest failure as a father is just another proof in that basket. You know, so there's been a battle for my soul in this story.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, you know, and the irony of this, I suppose you could say, is that, you know, you have this amazing relationship with your daughter and growing up, such that she
right.
would even note that you had this heart connection. I mean, it doesn't really sound like it gets any better than that. So there's something, obviously, that you're doing very well there in your relationship with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you look back on your daughter's past, is there anything that you can point to that you would say may have been a contributor to this or caused even these transgender feelings for your daughter?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when she was 10 years old, we moved from Minnesota to Wisconsin, and she got off on the wrong foot in that new community. And, you know, being homeschooled, she wasn't in school to make a lot of new friends. Now, we were involved in the church that I was serving at the time, but she got off on the wrong foot. She missed out on getting a part in a children's theater production, and that just crushed her. And she began to feel from the very beginning like she did not belong there, and that, she didn't know if she belonged anywhere. I mean, she felt fine at home. She felt like she belonged in her immediate family, but she did not feel accepted by her peers. And, you know, and what's come to light for me is, maybe you're familiar with Erikson's psychosocial stages of development, that in the teen years and adolescent years, it's important for kids to have peer connection, because that's where they develop their sense of identity. And I think that with my daughter, the combination of feeling like she wasn't belonging, and that the difficulty forming peer relationships, did something in her soul. And she was struggling with depression and a sense of isolation, and we tried to reverse that. We tried to arrange different visits for with different families. She went to camp, but it just never worked. She just couldn't get over that hump. And so I think it was that those adolescent years and her struggle to connect with her peers, that something warped in her identity, her sense of identity. I point to that as my belief is what brought about these feelings of transgender.
Okay. So for your parents, were really pointing to, just even with the question, we're pointing to the reality that there are really always some causations, some things that contributed to this. Typically, they are not one thing, but Ron has pointed out one thing, and it's probably a combination of things, but, you know, these are very real. And so what it shows us, too, is that if these areas are healed, the peer rejection in this case for Don's daughter, if these things are addressed and they're healed, then this condition can begin to change. And because there's an outright rejection in this case for Don's daughter of her femininity. And that doesn't just come from nowhere. It has a source, and it has a, you know, it's a process. So just want to make that note just for parents to realize that this is part of the hope in how things can change. Now, often people like as sons and daughters, when they're in the throes of this, they cannot imagine or even understand that there are causations. therefore they are not usually too open to working on the healing of these things. Well, Dawn, what currently kind of is the status of your daughter's actions towards her transgender feelings? What has she done? Anything?
After she announced her transgenderism to us, she wanted to go on testosterone treatments, and she was 19 at the time, and I told her, well, as long as you live in my house, I'm not going to allow that. I mean, if you want to move out of my house, fine, or until you turn 21, one of those conditions have to be met before I'll allow you to do that. And she honored that. She respected that. And so we moved here back to Minnesota about 3.5 years ago, and she found an apartment, and by then she was 21, and she began testosterone treatments, which a couple of years ago. And she's also had a double mastectomy. To my knowledge, she hasn't had any further sex reassignment surgeries, but, she's embracing the transition fully.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't looked back a whole lot.
Okay. Let's see. All right. When you, from the point of this disclosure of your daughter's transgender feelings, you obviously started a new chapter, in your relationship at that point.
Right.
In responding to this, what do you think you've done well in terms of, and what's been helpful in terms of how you have related to her?
Well, I think that I have put a lot of effort and energy into just demonstrating to her that I'll always love her. I love her unconditionally. And this does not change that, even though I don't agree with it, and even though it causes disappointment and shame in me, which I really don't discuss with her. But so I think I've done that well. I think I've stayed connected to her. I sat with her in the hospital after her mastectomy. I text her regularly. In fact, after this call is over tonight, we're going to go out and have a little bite to eat together just to stay connected. So I think just staying connected and expressing love to her, I think that's gone well. I think she knows I love her.
That's great. Yes. Very important that, your love doesn't change even though, she's, stepping into this more and more. Okay. Are there any ways that you've interacted with her that you would have changed or done differently?
I think that early on in the story, I think I probably could have listened a little more. After she came out, I wanted to formulate my thoughts, and I think I was still trying to relate to her a little bit from that relationship we'd had earlier. And that if she would hear my firmness, the firmness in my tone and the love for her, but the firmness of truth in my tone, this would all be just a kind of a waking up from a bad dream. But I didn't scold, I didn't berate, I didn't do anything like that. But I told her what I thought. And I think that before I did that, I probably could have asked her, I probably could have listened. I probably could have said, now, let's start at the beginning. Tell me the story of what brought you to this place today. Where did this start? And tell me about those things. I didn't do a lot of that. I probably could have done that a lot better. Just listened a lot more rather than, preached a sermon. Mm-hmm. If I could turn the time back, I would have done that. I would have listened a lot more and just said, well, tell me the whole story here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I've done that, but, I didn't do it initially. So, right. I had to, it took some time to kind of gain that ground back.
Okay.
Relationally.
All right. It sounds like you worked at it at some point in time there. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That. And now, this is often the, you know, this is a response that you're referring to initially and making your point known, making scriptures known, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Usually is coming out of parents' fear and just concern and wanting to control the situation. And so
right.
It's a very normal kind of reaction, but I'm glad that you can look back and, you know, see how you would have done it differently. And yet in the moment, I'm sure you were very gripped by the reality of this going on, and so it was pretty scary.
Yeah, you know, I mean, some of that reaction was, I mean, I have to admit that some of it was, in a sense, to vindicate me as a dad. You know, if I can get her to turn on this path that she put herself on, I can feel a lot of relief as a father. And, you know, it was some of that was to vindicate me. So the struggle has been, you know, to kind of, you know, with my own, you know, validation / vindication and to feel okay as a dad, as opposed to doing what's best for her. And sometimes the line between that is not real clear. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So in terms of parents that are out there that are maybe more at the beginning of this journey, beginning being early disclosure, just walking out in that early days of how difficult and painful that is, what recommendations, what advice would you give them in terms of how to posture themselves in relationship to their child?
Well, I think, you know, I think that number one, parents need to express their unconditional love for their kids, and especially a kid who's experiencing these feelings, because what I've learned is that it's a tough road, and it's not easy, and it's confusing for the kid too. It's confusing for the child to feel these things, and kids need the support of their parents no matter how old they are. So I think that parents need to, I mean, to kind of put the initial feelings of shock and frustration and so forth aside long enough to express love to their kids. I think then after that, I think that the parents need to find support in some way, shape, or form. I think that, you know, at first, that shamed me. I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't want anybody to know about this. And, of course, well, that's impossible. So I finally had to disclose this to some people I trusted so I could begin to work through the feelings. So I think the parents need to find support. I mean, people, local support, people that they can sit down with, look in eye to eye and tell the story to and share their feelings with so they can process it. There's also ways to find support, like online. There's a support forum that's called the Gender Critical Support Board. And it's not faith-based, but there's a lot of support, a lot of parents on there that do not agree that this is a good thing. And so that's one way to find support. Also, I think that parents need to find some support in the sense of, you know, how to talk to their kids. And there's some videos on YouTube by a therapist named Sasha Ayad, A-Y-A-D. And she specializes in counseling with adolescents that with transgender feelings, and she's very good at helping parents relate to their kids amid these feelings. So she has some videos on YouTube. There's also a lot of stories on YouTube with you know, teenagers that have detransitioned. They wanted to transition because they had these transgender feelings. Then they came back because they felt like their transition wasn't doing for them what they thought it did. This is all a support and kind of an information thing. That information helped me. I also read books. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of good books available that address this issue from an objective point of view, from a biblical point of view. So for me, it was finding support and getting and educating myself on this issue because it's very complex and very difficult. So that's what I would say. And I would say, you know, begin to pray. I had a dream almost a couple of years ago that was a call from God to me to pray in the spirit for my daughter, which was unusual that I would even remember a dream because my dreams usually evaporate and they're gone as soon as I wake up. But this one stayed with me. It was vivid. I remember it to this day. I could tell you the details. And so I felt it was definitely a call to pray in the spirit for my daughter, which to me that involves listening and to pray for my daughter as the spirit directs. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that come to mind, Bob.
Okay. And I think you had mentioned to me before there was some books that you had read by Yarhouse and that
right.
Type of thing. Can you mention that?
Yes. The first book I read after my daughter came out was is by Mark Yarhouse, and the title is Understanding Gender Dysphoria. Mark Yarhouse writes from a Christian point of view, and he lays this out objectively to understand what this thing is, where it's coming from, and what's the components. That was a very helpful book for me. Another book that has been very helpful to me was a book entitled When Harry Became Sally, and that's written by Ryan Anderson. It's not a biblical or faith-based book per se, but it's from a conservative point of view, and it's written from a little different angle. Also, there's a book by Andrew Walker called God and the Transgender Debate, which lays out a very, I think, pretty solid biblical position on this issue. And so those books have been helpful to me.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you for those referrals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that'll be very helpful for, as you're saying, the educational aspect of this and just understanding this issue is
right.
Big in terms of dealing with it. Okay. So in following up with this, are you available for parents to contact you if they'd like to ask you questions or ask you more about your situation?
Yeah, I'd be glad to be available. They can parents can email me if they'd like. Can I give that address?
Sure.
All right. Yeah, parents can email me at das.mn@yahoo.com. Again, that's das.mn@yahoo.com. And I'll be glad to answer questions. I'll be glad to, I'll be glad to pray for people. I'll be glad to do whatever I can.
We appreciate that. I know that's going to be a great resource for parents.
You know, there's a lot of things to work through, like the, how do you handle pronouns and the preferred names and all these, the myriad of issues that are sticky and difficult. And so, that would take too much time to discuss here, but I'd be glad to help them with that if they would like to email me.
Very good. And that was das.mn@yahoo.com.
Correct.
Okay. Well, could we finalize this podcast by having you pray for the parents?
Oh, sure.
All right, go ahead.
Yep, I'll be glad to do that. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your amazing faithfulness and that you're able to reach into the darkest and saddest and most terrifying and difficult situations and redeem them and bring them to places that we would never have imagined. And so this is my prayer for parents listening that are on the cusp or just the initial part of this story. And their children's news has just taken them by surprise and knocked them off the rails. I ask that your Holy Spirit would bring a sense of peace and hope that this is not something that knocked you off your rails. This is not something that knocked you off your throne. As difficult, as painful, as dark as it seems, you are in control and you have a plan for each of these children. And we ask that in the name of Jesus, you would bring this about in the lives of each child of the parents that are listening, that you would bring new hope to parents and that you would express your love for these children through their parents. That when the kids look in their parents' eyes, they would see your love, and they would hear your love in their parents' voices, and that you would bring your redemptive purposes to fruition and to your intended purpose in all of the lives that listen to this podcast. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Don, so much for your time and answering these questions and just having the courage to put your testimony out there. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. I think that, you know, the redemptive power of God means that we can even sometimes our mistakes and our failures can be used for redemptive purposes. So that's, you know, I believe that.
That's great. Very good. Well, parents, if you find this video helpful, feel free to enter your name, your email address into the right side of this website where it says subscribe to new posts on the right side, and you'll be notified of upcoming media and interviews such as this that we publish. And feel free to leave a comment or question below or in the contact us section of the website, and we'll be happy to respond to it. We'd love to hear from you and even share some of your experience maybe related to this. Until next time, please know there's always hope for you and your family.